Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will join us here in about 30 minutes at 8:30. We'll get into some college football with him. Joe, speaking of college football, some injury news that could impact Vanderbilt this weekend as they travel to Austin to take on Texas. Arch Manning in concussion protocol, and he had to leave the Mississippi State game on Saturday. Texas came back, won that game 45-38 in overtime against Mississippi State, and Arch Manning was, I believe, 29-46 in that game. Three touchdowns, did have the one pick, also a rushing touchdown for Arch Manning as well. So there's some good in that game from Arch. There were some bad in that game from March, and now his status in question moving forward to this week against Vanderbilt. So, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, it's amazing to talk about this, given what we were talking about before the season. How are you feeling about that if you're Vanderbilt heading into this game? Because on the one hand, I mean, I think we all recognize that Arch Manning has a lot of talent and a lot of ability. It has not come through very consistently this year on the field with him. On the other hand, you're dealing with a backup quarterback if you're Vanderbilt against Texas at that point. And most people, you'd rather play their backup than their starter. Breaking news here on the program. So how do you view this if you're Vanderbilt heading into this game, if you're a Vanderbilt fan on the Arch Manning front?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Arch ends up with the really good numbers and made some big-time throws in that comeback. The comeback doesn't happen without the ridiculous punt return. But he ends up throwing for 346 and three, threw a pick. He was struggling mightily. He has struggled mightily for a lot of this season. Just kind of off the mark and just hasn't looked very good. But the thing with Arch throughout all this, and it's always been a thing that he's done well, and he has done well this year, is he can run around and extend plays, and he can run and be a threat with his legs. And I guess that'd be my question is, you know, Matthew Caldwell, the backup, comes in, hits Emmett Mosley for the game-winning touchdown. What is Matthew Caldwell? I don't know the answer. What is Matthew Caldwell as a dual threat? If he's more statuesque and it's clearly just less of an issue to try to, like, keep your pass rush caged in and not have to have that element of your game plan be a big thing defensively, I think I'd take the backup.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would take the backup either way. I know that Arch has struggled. We have seen Arch, like, when he does put it together, look like a pretty good football player at times this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying the backup quarterback's he's at Texas, so it's not like he's some bum out there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that can't happen. Just given the choice, if I'm a Vandy fan, if Arch couldn't go this week, I'd probably be like, okay, yeah, we'll take the backup quarterback for Texas. Bring it on.
Yeah, and it's just as long as it's not – there's not some huge, you know, some huge difference in skill set where, you know, like
running the speed option.
Like you have to prepare for two totally different things. I don't think that's the case. So I'm with you. I think ultimately you would probably rather not have to see Arch. But again, I also think you have confidence if you do.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think Vanderbilt should have a lot of confidence heading into this game either way. Look, it's on the road at Texas. I think Texas has a good defense. The majority of the season would tell me that Texas has a good defense. It didn't necessarily go overly well for them last week against Mississippi State until later in the game when it did go well for them in that game, and they came up with some big stops. But, like, Vanderbilt, if Vanderbilt plays the way that they've played the majority of this year, they're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter with a chance to win it. And it's all you can ask for going on the road to Texas in the SEC with the talent level that they've got. Vanderbilt would be in good position to win it if they play their brand of ball, I think. Like, it's a 1.5-point spread. Texas favored by 1.5.
Give me that 20, Stilly. Still waiting, buddy. Yeah. No, listen. Texas's defense, I think the Tennessee offense, the Mississippi State offense, the Art Briles offense, the Ole Miss offense, I think those offenses you can destroy defenses that otherwise are sound and solid against, like, just about any other offense. It's part of the reason people run that offense, because
yep.
it can make it, it can change the math on a really good defense. So now Vanderbilt also does different things. So now, you know, and I think what Gentry said earlier, you know, good point. I mean, Missouri definitely took away a lot of stuff Vandy does well and did a fantastic job against that offense on the road. Really impressive, slash, if you want to say, alarming for Vanderbilt. So Texas has speed everywhere. They've got pros on that defense. Does the scheme for Vanderbilt make the difference, you know, or bother them? Again, I just think this game, and, you know, so, football still, it's energy and it's inspiration and emotion, all that stuff. And I, like, if they don't have this miraculous comeback last week, I'd really like Vanderbilt's chances, because if you're not going to be at your max capacity, I think, intangibly against Vanderbilt's offense, then they could, they can grind you into dust with these 7-minute touchdown drives.
Yeah, and again, going back to before the season, think about, you know, in August having the conversation of, like, a lot of people expecting Vanderbilt to walk into Texas and win on Saturday, which I know from some Vanderbilt fans that are friends of mine that I've talked to, makes them incredibly nervous heading into this game. They're like, yeah, this is the one that really freaks me out before the Tennessee game, of everybody's just dumping on Texas all year long and how bad they are. Like, do they put it together one week and just – I thought the Oklahoma game maybe was that game where they put it together and they looked okay offensively, played great defensively in that game. Mateer was hurt in that game, so you got to keep that – involved, like, he's coming back from the hand, and it was clear that he was not the same guy in that. So, but after that, they've struggled since then. So I just don't know what to make of Texas, because on the one hand, they've got so much talent. I still think Arch, if he puts it together, can be a good quarterback. But now, like, is Sark looking at the NFL? Has he got 1 foot out the door? What's all that look like? I don't know. Like, it's just a weird thing going on in Texas.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the crazy thing, is that and I thought for sure we were going to see the Mississippi State game is happening, and I'm like, so this Sark lets his agent put this out there. I mean, it's what happened.
Yeah.
And this is the response from his team. Yeah. They're just like, screw you. And then they have the, I mean, that was so close to me, this being like a walking dead team that you're playing this week. Pretty crazy. You know, I think this storyline, Robbie, I can see myself just kidding. A texter says, can't crap on Arch too much. He has about the same stats as, air quotes, Heisman candidate Pavia. I mean, guys, I know that I'm assuming you're a Tennessee fan. I understand that you, first of all, Aguilar has better passing stats than Pavia. Look, I'm just telling you, again, what Pavia has done merits inclusion in that race right now. Let's go to the athletic straw poll. Mendoza leading by far, 19 first place votes, 63 points. Ty Simpson, 1 first place vote, 28 points. Diego Pavia, 4 first place votes, 26 points. Nobody else is close. Haynes King is 4th with 10 points. That's just the athletic staff, but it's a pretty big staff. We got a lot of people who cover college football, and most of us have Heisman votes. It's a real thing, and it should be a real thing. Pavi is a Heisman candidate. I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to reduce it to stats or the hilarious, the school is doing a campaign for him, then you're just being ignorant. All right, sorry.
Well, also,
we can move off that now.
You know.
Triggered.
We'll see. Pavi is going to have a few more chances here, including this Saturday on the road at Texas, to come up with some moments that either,
and he's going to need to
that
to
either
win.
Increase those chances, or, I mean, who knows? 2 weeks from now, he could be off the board completely. I mean, that's how the Heisman thing works in college football. It can change pretty dramatically from a week to week standpoint. But yeah, like, watch Pavia play. He's pretty good, man. Like, you know, you can be a hater if you want to, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if Diego Pavia is ever going to take a snap in the NFL. I have no idea. For that team, that program, go watch the games, man. Like, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and again, one thing you're not going to change is it is Vanderbilt. It has been an insane, complete 180 with his time in the program. And, you know, that all this talk, he's cocky or whatever, he does some cocky stuff for sure. Like, there is no question that he is respected by his teammates and loved by his teammates and is not seen as like a selfish guy or anything like that. Like he is a Pied Piper in a college football program. And you know what? I think there's less of that now, given the way the game has changed and the way people change teams and all this stuff. And I know it's only his second year here, but that's part of this, and it's not insignificant.
Now, bringing up the word Heisman really just makes people mad. Somebody wondering when we're going to put some respect on Ty Simpson's name.
Well, I just read it out. Like, he's second. He's above Pavia. And you know what? I think he should be above Pavia. He yes. beat Pavia head-to-head. Pavia threw the pick late in the game. So Simpson should be ahead of him. In fact, I don't even remember if I think I had my vote this week I definitely had Pavia third. I think I put Simpson first. Was I the only first place vote? And then Mendoza second. I don't know. I should have if I did.
Hater of Indiana football, Joe Rexroth.
I mean, I think you
Big Ten hater.
Yeah.
Well, Big Ten kind of sucks. But I mean, you could plug in just about anybody. I feel like at Indiana, and Mendoza's really good. But like, I think it's Kurt Cignetti is like, he's somehow is like, I don't know. He's like an AI quarterback coach or something.
He's
that makes no
cat.
Sense. They just destroy everyone. UCLA is like, oh, what a great story. They blow up Michigan State on the road. They're doing all this stuff. And then Indiana's like, how about 56-6? Get your ass out of our town. The greatest college football team in the land, Indiana Hoosiers.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More to get to on the Vanderbilt front. Plus, another SEC coach that did seem to be too happy with Vanderbilt and College Game Day over the weekend. We'll get on to that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will be with us here in just a few minutes at 8:30. Got a lot of things on the college football front to get into with him.
Personal text line, Kyle Tucker, a term I need to steal. Stat peepers. That's what he's calling you UT fans who stat peepers, who are, you know. Like,
pretty good.
Which is just like the texter who's been going back and forth with me, won't give me his name. I mean, maybe I'll just have to give your number out to the public, but just kidding, I won't do that. He comes back with, 10th in the SEC in passing yards, too turnt! I mean, you're just a hater.
Too
like
turnt.
You're just a hater. It's just dumb. Diego Pavia deserves to be where he is. And, again, if you watch Vanderbilt play football, you know that Diego Pavia is not having many 300-yard passing games in that offense. But what he'll do is he'll, you know, he might throw for 180 and be highly efficient and not turn it over. Last week, you know, he got one tipped and picked. But usually takes care of the ball, and then he'll run for 70 and a touchdown or two, and they'll win. That's what it is. Like, he is not playing an offense – where you're going to regularly have huge passing numbers. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't know that by now, I can't really help you.
So, Joe, we mentioned at the end of last week, speaking of quarterbacks and Vanderbilt.
Oh, yes.
That Jared Curtis, local kid, high-level recruit, currently committed to Georgia to go play quarterback, was visiting Vanderbilt this past weekend, was there for College Game Day, and there is some hope. And I think maybe, Joe, even a little bit of belief from some associated with Vanderbilt football that they've got a legitimate shot maybe to flip him here and for him to commit to Vanderbilt and decommit from Georgia. Well, Jared Curtis was asked about, I guess the backstory to that also is Nate Bargatze brought up Jared Curtis like three times on the College Game Day broadcast. He was like, Jared Curtis, I'll buy you a house or whatever it is. Like, it was good stuff. So Kirby Smart was asked about that yesterday at his weekly press conference about Jared Curtis and the, I guess, blitz going on from Vanderbilt here to try to get him to decommit and go to Vandy. Here's what Kirby Smart had to say.
Kirby, off topic, the comedian Nate Bargatze was making his pitch on College Game Day to get a high-profile recruit to go to Vanderbilt. Does anything surprise you in recruiting, or is that a new one for you?
No, I mean, I don't get caught up in it much. You know, Mark, I don't look at the stuff like that and just recruit the best job we can and sell what we have and talk to the kids and communicate with the kids that we talk to and trust them for what they tell us and not get into gimmicks and propaganda stuff.
No gimmicks, no propaganda.
Propaganda? My goodness. Nate Bargatze is he's captain of misinformation out there. What? Good Lord.
That question, though? Come on.
The question to Kirby?
Coach.
Yeah.
Why? That's my guy, Mark Weiser. I'm glad he asked the question. What's wrong with the question?
I don't. He's fishing there. He's looking for a little how about this? It felt a little college sportsy, homery question.
Little buddying up to the coach.
I'm glad it came up so he could address it. We could all see what a freaking stuffed shirt he is. Lighten up, dude. A comedian had a little fun. You know, a comedian had a little fun with the situation. Like, we don't get into the. Come on. I mean, would you freaking have a little bit of fun in your life, Kirby Smart? Good God.
You can't do it.
But I do. The one thing that he said there that is. All right. Can you play that again? I'm sorry.
Off topic. The comedian Nate Bargatze was making his pitch on College game day to get a high profile recruit to go to Vanderbilt. Does anything surprise you in recruiting, or is that a new one for you?
No, I mean, I don't get caught up in it much. You know, Mark, I don't look at the stuff like that and just recruit the best job we can and sell what we have and talk to the kids and communicate with the kids that we talk to and trust them for what they tell us and not get into gimmicks and propaganda stuff.
No, trust them for what they tell us. That's the key phrase there. Trust them for what they tell us. Because
no backstabbing.
Because all, you know, on the everything that people are, especially on the Georgia side, that Curtis has assured the staff, yeah, he's coming, man. Now, I see there's someone on Twitter, and I have no idea who this person. I've lost it, but this is a person who, like in the profile, suggests like is a significant giver to Vanderbilt.
Okay,
who is expressing confidence that it's actually going their way. I don't know. Okay. We'll see.
All right.
But, I don't know, man. I disagree. I think that – I don't think the question like, Kirby – like if it was like, Kirby, you know, these Vandy losers want to take this quarterback from you, what would you say? I mean, I just think you would just set him up to, like, talk about the goofiness of a comedian.
It was a little buddy-buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's college sports.
Does anything surprise you in recruiting anymore these days, Kirby? Isn't it just crazy?
The audacity to have the comedian on College game day, Kirby, and start talking about the recruit.
Trying to steal your players.
But it is funny, right? Like, I mean, a comedian going on game day to do that is, like, for any, if you weren't on the Georgia beat, like, I know when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I don't know. Well, that's fine. Rip Mark if you need to. I'd rather rip Kirby.
Well, if you vouch for Mark, that helps. That helps.
Yeah, he's not some big homer guy.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that helps. Yeah. I was just a little.
There are
bit,
plenty on the Georgia beat.
Well, college
some who will go
general,
unnamed here today.
That can be an issue. Yes, but
believe me, there are some raging homers on that Georgia beat. Mark is not one of them. But anyway,
a coach, coach.
Do you love me, coach?
So, this is if the trust what they tell us. That little segment of there was Kirby like, boy, he better not be lying to me. That kid better not be lying to me.
Mike on the text line says, could you lighten up if you had to go through life with the name Kirby?
I mean, maybe not if I also wore a visor, you know?
Yeah, the visor is quite something.
Yeah.
With the hair just kind of floating
the
over the top of
it. Hair, yeah. Kirby should, I mean... He's won some natties, doing pretty well in life. He's kind of winning in life. Yeah, he should chill out a little bit.
We made some Georgia fans mad. Kirby has tons of fun winning national championship games.
Exactly. I agree. So, like, can we, you know.
It's their livelihood, Joe.
Yeah.
We're talking about families here.
Well, he's families. Shout out to Brian Kelly.
Where's he going to end up?
You know what? I don't think he's going to end up anywhere.
He's just done?
And this is a good thing to ask Bruce.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, man, because you're going to have to take a step back if you're him. You're in your – I mean, you're what? Well into your 60s, right? How old is Brian Kelly?
64.
Like, you're going to have to take a step back. The whole point of this move was I'm finally going to win my national championship. Is he going to go somewhere where he can do that now?
I don't think so.
Maybe he's a coaching lifer and it's just like he just wants to – but, I mean, he's miserable. He makes other people miserable. Count your money. He just went to Superior Grill yesterday and got the large queso.
He did.
Enjoy your life, man. Just like Kirby needs to a little bit more. Sorry, Georgia fans.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking some college football. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Bruce Feldman to the program from The Athletic and from Fox. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you taking time to do so. So, Bruce, after a season last year where no coach in the SEC got fired, there's coaches getting fired all over the place right now, Brian Kelly being the latest of them. So let's just start there. What did you make of LSU moving on from Brian Kelly? And what do you think the future kind of looks like for Brian Kelly at this point, going from Notre Dame to LSU and now being shown the door by the Tigers?
Yeah, I don't think it was a shock. Maybe it was a shock that it turned so fast at the end. But look, he'd been there for, this is year four, and as everyone knows, the previous three coaches at LSU all had won national titles all within their first 4 years there, and he wasn't close. I mean, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, Nick Saban all won national titles. The best season he had there was finishing number 12, and they weren't even going to get close to number 12 this year. They had tripled their budget for NIL and their roster, and he talked about, hey, last year they're going to be receipts and we'll see at the national title game. That didn't even come close to happening. And then to get embarrassed like they did by Texas A&M, I think a lot of people looked at it and saw, hey, there's a lot of arrogance. This guy doesn't fit here. The fit had been a thing that I think a lot of folks could identify right out of the gate. They just think that they never felt like, whether he was from the Deep South or not, he just, you know, Nick Saban wasn't from Louisiana either, but he was real. And Brian Kelly never felt real. Now where he goes from, I don't know what the next move is going to be. You know, I'm curious to see how much they actually end up having to pay of the $54 million buyout, how much he gets. Remember, he's 64 years old. I don't know how marketable he's going to be for the next head coaching job. And I don't see him, like, if Ryan Silverfield leaves Memphis, I don't see Brian Kelly being the guy to go to Memphis or one of those. So maybe he goes to TV somewhere. Maybe he just goes away. I mean, he likes to golf. We know that because he played a ton of golf while he was the head coach at LSU. So maybe he just gets on a golf course a lot.
Yeah, my advice is head on back, order an lobster roll, get back to that Boston accent. And, you know, I think that's the move for him. But some of these guys are coaching lifers, Bruce, so it'll be interesting. Of course, Bruce broke the news about the, you know, Kelly and the meetings with, you know, the firing of Joe Sloan and all the conversations with the assistant coaches and sort of this contentious ending to this thing, Bruce. But now LSU, I got to ask you, I think that Lane Kiffin, you know, obviously is going to be pursued, and you've written about him and with both of those jobs, both of them being LSU and Florida. I think LSU would be the move for him over Florida. What do you think about that? Do you look at those jobs roughly the same, or do you give LSU the edge?
I give LSU the edge, Joe, just in this regard. You know, before Brian Kelly, this was like everyone who goes there seems to win national titles. There's so much, there's not the same competition for talent in the state of Louisiana, which is a great state for football. And so, you know, in Florida, yeah, there's a lot to like there, but we've seen a lot of people struggle in that job now. You know, after Urban, they've tried almost seemingly like everything and it hasn't worked, whether it was Will Muschamp, who was the hot assistant, or guys who have proven, you know, group of mid-major coaches. Dan Mullen had been, it didn't work. You know, I'm not convinced Kiffin's definitely going to leave. The other thing that makes it tricky is he's got a team that's 7-1. The rest of the schedule is really soft. It's going to be hard to expect, even if they stumble, that they're still not going to make the playoffs. And all of a sudden the timing is extended and you got to wait. And look, maybe schools are like, hey, there's just not a lot of great candidates. If we believe in a guy, we'll punt on this year's recruiting because we don't want to take somebody we're not sure of and stick them in there just because we're so stuck on timing. I think Kiffin has a playoff team. I think he probably also knows he probably doesn't have a team that can win the playoff. And to do that, he may need to leave Oxford. You know, last year they obviously spent a lot of money. It didn't work out for a variety of reasons. They kind of choked in the regular season and cost himself a playoff spot. I don't know if that makes him think, you know what, LSU has got to be the spot because that's the best chance I have to win a national title. But if you're LSU, you look around, there aren't that many candidates who you can say with much confidence, oh yeah, I think this is the guy who is going to resonate with players and boosters and everybody else who feels like they have the pedigree and the history to justify us, you know, rolling the dice and giving them this job. And Lane Kiffin's one of the few right now who I think at least as close as they're probably going to get to that.
So, Bruce, we're living in a world where Vanderbilt is a top 10 team with a college football playoff path right in front of them. What do you make of that matchup against Texas coming up this weekend and the path to the playoff for Vanderbilt, the job that Clark Lea has done?
It's an amazing job that he's done there. Like, I, through my 11-year-old son, I ended up watching the whole Netflix SEC documentary, and nobody came across better in that than Clark Lea and Vandy, and I got a huge Diego Pavia fan in the house now because of it, and wants to do hot yoga just because Diego Pavia does it. It was like, I think it's, you know, pretty awesome what has happened there. And I did a story a couple of days ago on Barton Simmons, who I, you know, everybody there knows, the former, you know, former Rivals and 247 recruiting expert, has been a really good fit working with his old buddy, and, you know, as the GM there at Vandy, and hearing him talk about Pavia the way he has, I say that all this, like, I would vote for him right now as a Heisman winner, because I know that program was a 2-win team before he and, you know, Jerry Kill and Tim Beck got there and Eli Stowers, but Pavia is a transformational player just because of his, not just because of his attitude, but largely because of his attitude and the confidence he brings and instills in people and the playmaking ability he has. I wouldn't bet against him this week. Texas has sputtered all season. And I just think that the level that this team is playing, I don't, you know, whether Arch is able to play or not, because even the concussion protocol, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I just really like what I've seen from Vandy. When they lost to Alabama, it didn't feel like that was, you know, like the game felt much closer than the final score was. When they beat LSU, when they beat, you know, it's like it didn't, nothing felt like fluky with them. I think they're just a really good team led by a great quarterback.
Bruce, I'm going to send you all the nasty texts from Tennessee fans that are going to be coming in now that you said that Pavia should win the Heisman. For some reason, they are very down on that whole idea. I want to stick with Vandy, though, because and we'll combine that with the coaching cycle. I mean, look, I think if I'm LSU, I'm interested in Clark Lea. I think if I'm a lot of programs, I'm interested in Clark Lea. Also, I think it would be very difficult to get him out of here, but I'm not saying it's impossible. What, do, if jobs like that, if programs like that come after him full bore, what do you think happens?
I don't know. Can you, if you're, can you say no to LSU if you're a Vandy? Can you say no, you know, if you're a Penn State? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, is Matt Rhule going to win enough for his buddy to hire him at Penn State? I don't know. But, like, Clark Lea's a guy I feel like has earned though that kind of talk. Now, I know Vandy people probably don't want it, and obviously has deep ties there, and he's made them relevant again. You know, they were obviously they were in the top 25, whatever it was, a dozen years ago, and Franklin was there, but they're beating good teams now too. That was one thing that wasn't going on, and they're in the top 10. It's a big difference between being in the top 10 and being in the top 25. You know, how much does Vandy, how capable are they to compete for him? Is going to be an interesting subplot to this, but also like Kiffin potentially, they could be in the playoff and that could muck up the timing for some other schools. You know, I'm fascinated to see how this goes, you know, like, by the way, as for Tennessee fans, you know, got to get over it. I mean, this guy has earned everything. And to think, I get it, it's your in-state rival and they look down at tennis at Vandy, but again, they were 2-10 before he showed up. They're a top 10 team now. That is, you know, that's one of the more amazing stories I've seen in the last decade of a transformation, especially his story itself, of where he came from. I'm just kind of in awe of it. And credit to Clark Lee to see, hey, these New Mexico State guys, I think I want to sign on for what they're doing and bring it on because it's worked. And I think they have a really good thing going there. And maybe Clark decides, you know what, I'm not going to mess with that because I see how it goes at some of these other programs where guys are doing really well. They jump into it and maybe the alignment's not very good. Maybe the, you know, just maybe it's just not a great fit. I do think Clark Lee would fit at a bunch of other places, but you start getting into the alignment, the expectations, and then all of a sudden, if things don't go great early, Vandy was patient enough with him. I don't know how many other programs wouldn't be if it doesn't go as well as they're hoping it does early. Because as we see with Penn State, certainly at LSU, the expectations are insanely high there.
Bruce, last thing for you here, kind of a big picture question as it relates to Clemson. I'm not saying that Dabo Swinney's in danger of losing his job or anything like that, but this was supposed to be a year where they were back in contention for a national title, and they're not going to be close to that, as we know. So where do you think things go from here with Clemson? Are they done being a true threat in the national landscape all this? Can he rebound from this? How do you view Dabo Swinney and where things go with Clemson moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting deep dive for him at the end of the year. The offense has really been disappointing. The offensive line hasn't been good, you know, in the micro pieces of it. In the macro part, you know, we've seen Dabo's been really, you know, hesitant to embrace the transfer portal. He's taken a few guys. Like, he's got a good defensive end that was at Purdue, but just not to the level everybody else is involved in it. And clearly he's stubborn. And look, he has a good reason to be stubborn. He's won two national titles. But he got further away from those titles this year. And this is a team, if you talk to NFL personnel people, has a bunch of NFL dudes on it. I don't know how he looks in the mirror and goes, all right, this is getting better. I got to make some hard changes. He doesn't want to do it. And I don't know what that means. You know, I don't think he's in any danger of being on the, you know, being fired there because of his track record and what he did for the program. But I think if he wants it to get back to being a top 10 program, he's going to have to make a lot of hard moves that I don't think he's comfortable making. But as we see, you know, Nick Saban did a lot of pivoting and adjusting and changing because he saw how the game was changing and he had to react to it. And Dabo has just not been flexible enough to do that. And it's costing them. And until, you know, it's not like they're in like the gauntlet of the SEC. We're seeing like a Virginia team that doesn't look that good. They're just experienced because they have a lot of, you know, grad students on it. And, you know, right now, Clemson's not at that level, which is crazy to say, given all the talent on that roster.
Well, Bruce, you're really kind with your time, as always. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. My pleasure.
Yep. Bruce Feldman, our guest here on the program from The Athletic and from Fox as well, does an outstanding job covering college football. We'll react to what Bruce had to say, our final thoughts on the Titans, their trading of Roger McCreary coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate Bruce Feldman for being with us in the last segment. Joe, it's going to be interesting to see who ends up taking that LSU job. Like the coaching carousel in general of like how things fall this year, going to be interesting. By the way, people aren't done getting fired yet either, so there's going to be more names to add to the list.
Yeah. I'm doing a matchmaking exercise of coaches with jobs. There's 8 Power 4 jobs open right now. I'm throwing 5 more in there that I'm expecting,
okay,
including Florida State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, a couple others. So that's 13 Power 4. And there could be more. And again, then you could, like, you know, Bruce just said, like, okay, so then what about Nebraska opening? Then if Matt Rule does get the Penn State job, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be crazy. LSU, I think Clark Lee is worth looking at. I think for any of these programs, I mean, you should be looking at Clark Lee. Absolutely. I think Lane Kiffin, people will say that's like the splash hires don't work, and he comes with all the guy wins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a winning coach. And also, I do think, like, I know a lot of people make the Spurrier comparison, right? He does have that. He talks a lot of trash, but he has fun with it. It's like, you know, like Kirby and his calories. You should be more like that, Kirby. You should have ripped Lane that week, yeah, but you missed your opportunity. than like Kelvin Shepard. John Sumrall, Tulane. That guy is going to get hired by somebody. Is LSU look at that kind of thing? I mean, there's a lot of other jobs. But the LSU job to me is the top one of all these. And like Bruce said, you should expect to win it when you go there.
Oh, and he would be a fit there. I mean, I was telling somebody this the other day. It kind of feels like Lane Kiffin was born to be the Florida coach. Like, I don't know. Like, he just screams Florida coach.
Yeah.
He really does.
No, he is like.
He has Florida man vibes.
He does. Like, he very much screams Florida Gator head coach.
I mean, the visor and the trash talk. Yeah. He doesn't quite have Spurrier's knack for, like, these perfect jokes, like, oh, the, you know, whatever. What the library burned
down. UT. Yeah.
Yeah. Library burned down at Auburn. You know, all the coloring books were lost, et cetera, et cetera.
That's pretty good.
But Lane's the closest thing, probably, right?
Yeah.
I still say go to LSU, Lane.
I would, if I were him, I would go to LSU before Florida. I'm just saying that
I agree.
He feels like a Florida head coach.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But maybe he stays at Ole Miss.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, he tweeted earlier today a picture with a home emoji.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That just
with all his family like on the field with just like a emoji with a house on it.
That just means nope, get up that money.
He's gonna
my pay, staff pay, NIL pay. Otherwise I keep tweeting welcome home mats.
He's got a lot of fun with this.
Yes, he will.
The Titans have traded Roger McCreary to the LA Rams. We were talking earlier, Joe, about just the repair job that is going to be necessary for this roster right now. And it just looking at it on paper, it feels like it's going to take forever. Like, they've got a ton of cap space this summer that they're going to have to deal with. Boy, how depressing is it, you know, talking about draft picks and cap space on October the 28th for the Tennessee Titans, but that's where we're at right now. But you're talking about now, we would assume, three cornerbacks you're going to have to find, because I doubt Snead's going to be here next year. So Brownlee started for you, he's gone. McCreary started for you, he's gone. I think they're probably going to move on from Snead. So you're revamping your cornerback room. We know they need receivers and edge rushers and running backs and tight ends potentially and all these other things. So a lot of jobs to be done for Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, as we start turning our attention to the offseason and the head coach and all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't know on the McCreary side what he thought, what he wanted in terms of an extension. The combo of Brownlee and McCreary out for what they got back, I just don't like it. So you got a totally clean slate at another position group when you have a lot of other positions that need to be addressed. But it'll be an active offseason. And you're right there for the number one pick. Yay.
Oh, yeah. And Brownlee, maybe you may have hit something earlier. Like, we need Brownlee to go to the Jets. And he'll make some plays for him, and we'll get the number one pick.
Yeah, Gentry. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You know, you could be sad that Brownlee made the key play to win that game, but
chestnut checkers.
Yeah, that's right. He's
yeah, actually, he's playing the whole time.
He's actually helping you out. Hold on. A texter says that Kirby said he took Lane's hot yoga tickets after he beat him. Okay, if that's the case, I'll give Kirby a tip of the visor.
Apparently, Kirby and Lane Kiffin are really good friends.
Yeah.
A very unlikely friendship.
Yeah, well, yeah, they worked together. They both had to deal with Saban as their boss, so I'm sure they shared a lot of, you know, tender moments dealing with that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's just crushing Venables, though. Just crushing Brent Venables. Yeah. I don't know that that's as friendly.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
He thinks that they're a better team than us.
He listed all the times his teams crushed Brent Venables. He had the final score ready, too. Good Lord.
It's a hot take. That does it for us today on the program. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.